So here we are towards the end of our journey together this round, and you've all gotten all the steps and stones at this point. Hello?
But I can't hear Naite either. Oh, I
Can
always say her name wrong. Oh, there
you hear? That's
she is.
okay. Can you hear me now?
I can.
Okay, good. Oh, good. I think we're good now. Yeah, so just saying we've come towards the end of our journey. Of course, an end isn't ever an end, but a marker, like a horizon. And we've talked about creating new horizons and, coming to the edges of places. So we're coming to an edge now of this time together. And so there's an end and there's a beginning. I wanted to talk a little bit today about that, about what destruction and creation has for us, and how important it is to remember that both have equal priority and equal qualities. And it's very important to allow destruction to happen. Much of our kind of quandary is not allowing destruction, not honoring destruction. And even when a tree falls in the forest, we tend to be like, oh no, the tree has fallen down, but that tree is going to create a whole new ecosystem with its decay.
Right.
And we talked a little bit about wabi-sabi, which is a Japanese aesthetic or philosophy that nurtures all that is authentic by acknowledging three realities: nothing lasts, nothing is finished, and nothing is perfect. So to accept these realities is to acknowledge that clarity and grace can be found in the unvarnished existence, in the creation and recognition of beauty in the presence of all life, even decay, even destruction, and valuing imperfection as much as what might be called perfection, which of course comes in increments. So today we're going to talk a bit more about that, about how, for instance, when the egg comes into being, when an egg is laid, literally, there's a destruction there. When a birth happens, there's a destruction of the womb time. And even an egg itself contains a yolk and the whites, which are often separated, when we're baking. And I was thinking about this morning. It came to me about how mind and body could be considered, the body is the yolk and the mind is the white. And I don't know about you, but I really like waffles. And so when we make waffles, you have to separate the yolks from the whites. And you mix the yolks with the sugar and you mix the whites, or you beat the whites, I mean, so that they become really fluffy. And it just sort of struck me that that's kind of like the body and the mind, and also how to separate off all concept of both body and mind, and even to acknowledge it so simply as the yolk and the white, and to just keep working with it in that way. So that's kind of a roundabout introduction to you both being able to see yourself stepping just from even one stone to another. So this journey we've had together is one stone really in all, and then moving on to the next phase. So allowing sort of the destruction of something. And one of my elders often would say to me, he'd tell me all kinds of wonderful things, and then he'd say, "But don't take my word for it." And he would, in saying that, would be an invitation to go out and experience everything that I had learned from him for myself, because experience is the greatest teacher. You don't get it until you get it yourself. So where you are now, if you feel like talking, if there's any questions, mostly if you have some inquiry to explore further, because that is what satsang is for, is to come to it and say, this is where I'm at. And then in satsang, there's a natural part of destruction that happens, the fire that burns away what is not truth. So satsang is very much, as enlightenment is very much about destruction, about moving through with the intensities. We talked about that too, with being able to handle the intensities that are normally only available to us at the time of birth and death. And there again is that destruction energy. So being able to work with destruction. So perhaps what is it that is going through a destruction for you right now?
Well, for me, it was just like, yeah, I guess 2 days ago I said to Greg, like my girlfriend, it just feels like my life is an absolute mess right now. I mean, but when I step aside and look at it, I can see that, okay, I understand that this is just a time when, I don't know. I mean, I'm doing everything okay that I'm doing. It just seems that I don't know. There's a little chaotic, I guess.
And how are you in that chaos? Who are you in that chaos?
Well, I guess just from what I get from the readings and stuff, I'm able to, I'm really trying to just be in it. And I know I'm still being a good mother, and I feel so much stress that I should be doing something else, that I should be, like a lot of pressure, that I should have something else on the go. And I guess it's just, makes me feel like I'm in a million pieces.
And where are all those pieces?
Inside of me, I suppose.
So they're actually contained. Yes? Yeah. So, yeah, there are many pieces, but they are inside of you, which means they are contained, just like all the stars are contained in the sky. It seems vast and it seems unreachable sometimes, but they are all there, all accounted for, and all your pieces are accounted for. And they're probably going through a bit of a restructuring, right? Having a young child and going
Definitely.
through relationship changes. Everything's restructuring, like your cells, if you would. They're reconfiguring, like, even in the stars, the scales of Libra used to be the claws of Scorpio. So you'd think that, oh, well, the stars don't move around. Yeah, they do. They reconfigure as well. And it is
Oh,
said,
yeah, I just read that was in today's reading, hey?
right. And it is said that inside of you, your atoms, the distance between your atoms is the same as the distance between the stars. So, you are the universe.
That was amazing when I read that.
Yeah. So just take that in, just take that on that yes, you are in a million pieces, but they are all inside you. They're not lost. They're not even wandering. They're just doing what they do. And sometimes that can feel discombobulating. I love that word, because there's actually no word combobulate. There's only discombobulate.
Discombobulating.
And it's just got a nice sound to it, discombobulate. Doesn't sound threatening. It just sounds like, ooh, okay. Things are just moving around.
Definitely.
Yeah. So definitely acknowledging your place in life and the experiences that you're having, and being a young mother is huge. It's huge. You're shifting out of me, 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 me into another, having another being in your life that demands everything of you. Absolutely everything.
Definitely.
Yeah. And we'll take you to new places, yeah? Go
Oh,
ahead.
definitely. And I'm just as I was saying last week, her dad had gotten laid off, so it's the first time in a long time we've spent more than a week together. So it's but I don't know, it's kind of I'm kind of trying to see. I don't know. I might just be crazy. That's very well the case. I just go back and forth all the time, like thinking, okay, well this, I have everything I need when he is here. And just reading like in that piece today, like when we're looking for a soul one or soulmate or whatever, we have to realize that we are the one and stuff. And I'm just thinking like maybe that's all I need. It's just, a support system. I don't know. So that's where I am right now. Just really confused about pretty much everything in my home base right now.
I mean, who is he for you? You're
What's
going through,
that?
you're wondering who he is for you. Like, is he your soulmate? Is he someone you're going to spend a lot of time with? Is he someone who is just supporting you right now? I just had this conversation with my daughter today. She's just in a new relationship and her boyfriend's flying her to New York, and it's all very exciting, but she's not sure how who he is for her. And I said, well, who is he today? And that is the best thing to do in any relationship, is to wake up with each other in the morning and look at them and say, who are you? And if I liked you enough yesterday and you're still in my bed, that's probably a good sign, or you're still in my house. And just to take it from there, if I liked you enough yesterday that I wake up to you, that's probably a good thing. And then let today be a whole surprise. Let it be what it is, and without expectation of where it's going. Just let every day surprise you. And in that you say, especially with a small child, well, what if he goes, or how am I going to support myself, or even just stay sane, raising a child on your own. Those are all considerations for sure, but you have to remember that this story was written a long time ago, and there's nothing you can do to change it. All you can do is read it every day. Yeah? It's like
Read
people
it every
often,
day. That's exactly it.
yeah, we read our books at night before we go to
Well,
sleep.
that
Go
was
ahead.
gonna say, and that's exactly it. And I'm trying really hard to just be in it, but it's difficult. Like we haven't had a physical relationship with one another since before she was born. So it's really just like a friendship, but at the same time, it's preventing, well, each other from meeting other people and stuff. So it's kind of it's I don't know. I feel kind of young or immature myself to kind of just wanna, I don't know,
Well, that's a
not sure
good
if
thing.
that's.
That's part, sounds to me like part of the story, because you have a 12-month-old now, is it? Yeah, she just turned one.
Yeah, well, 13 months.
Meeting other people is really not part of your life right now. Starting other relationships. Your life
That's
is
exactly
this
what
baby.
I
And so in some way or another,
Yeah.
it's very common for young parents not to be physical. And that is quite often a real hang up, because you think you're supposed to be. But do
Or
you
really
really
have
have the
to.
energy? Do you really have the desire? No. You're nursing, you're
Oh
completely, yeah.
my gosh, I already have someone suck my tit like half of the day. Yeah,
Exactly,
exactly.
exactly. You don't want any more. That is so normal. And that's part of our societal flaw, I guess, or foible, is that couples think, okay, now the baby's born, and okay, maybe a couple months, and we'll get back to the way we were. You will never, ever be the way you were. Why would you be? That would be insanity. You are changing all the time, and you are
Right,
not,
going back.
you're not just two anymore, you are three. And
Right.
so things have to change. And so for you both to accept, we're not being physical right now. And just who are you for each other? And possibly sit down and talk about that very clearly and make an intention. Each of you, who are we for each other? You know, when we do animal totem medicine, everybody wants their power animal, yeah? That's exactly how it works. You do a meditation or journey, however it is that you connect with your spirit animal, your animal totem, and you make a contract with that animal for a certain amount of time. And you say, I will work with you for this amount of time. And it can be the same with intentions. You say, this is my intention, and he says, this is my intention, or who I think I am for you, who I want to be. Remember that exercise that we did in one of the steps of the three qualities you admire, the three things you want to be. And you may ask him if he would be willing to do that as well.
Right, yeah.
And then you can also call each other on it, hopefully in a nice way, or just be accountable to yourself, which again is the ability to respond in any given moment. It's more important to really call yourself on it. Am I being, open, sincere, trustworthy, whatever the three values are that you choose, or creative, whatever it is. And you know, everything, every day is an opportunity to be creative. You know, especially as a young mother, we can get kind of bogged down in the mundane and think, oh, I can't express myself. I can't, be creative. But therein is the opportunity always to express yourself and create. And create means respond, basically. Respond creatively to what
Thank you.
is.
Respond creatively to what is.
Even if what is destruction.
Definitely.
And sometimes destruction is the most creative act. You know, it's just you don't know. You never know. You just never know. And it's always every moment, every moment.
Everything is just happening, right?
That's right. And
Yeah.
if you're not in the moment, you're in the past or you're in the future, which don't exist. You're in La La Land, which has no bearing on your life whatsoever.
Thank you for that. But thank you.
So what else is there possibly in this realm of, just being with what is and moving through it, moving with it, dancing with it. You know, enlightenment is a dance. And the dance comes with being able to respond. So as we've come around to the last step was run and return, which is a very profound part of the Torah. A lot of these teachings are based in the Torah, the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And we speak a lot about Nun, which is the heir to the throne, and how the fish plays out in the Hebrew teachings, which go back to the Aramaic teachings of Christ. So just sitting in that, and again, all the lessons that have come through carry layers and layers of lessons and teachings that will come for you when it's the right time. You've taken in a lot of teachings, a lot of prompting in taking this course, and you've gotten a lot of it already. I've noticed you're moving through it beautifully. And also it will continue to come for you, and it has primed you to be more receptive and more responsive, less reactive.
I've been just experiencing myself in quiet, and the most amazing answers or responses from people or just new thoughts in me being quiet and meditative and just listening. It's been like really, really, really nice for me because there's been many times in my life where I don't remember ever being quiet. So, and I was wondering the other day about apathy, or like, am I just like flowing? It's almost like floating on my back and like holding my breath a bit so that I stay up and just letting go and quiet. So I was wondering a little bit about, if I'm just releasing into what is, am I in a sense letting go of my ability to sort of be this active participant? And I've been seeing it happen, and the answer is no, but it's just interesting to feel myself questioning the quiet, and then instead of listening to the questions, I'm just keeping on
Yeah,
being
it
quiet.
sounds like you're letting the inquiry do the work. And that again is the importance of we call it inquiry. More than questions, but sort of the same thing. And so that's a very good inquiry and very timely. I was just speaking to somebody who was ranting about some things, in fact, about baby chicks. It's funny, we were talking about eggs today and egg production and such, and how so many of them are destroyed in the commercial egg industry and such. And like all those kinds of things that you see on Facebook and in the media, one must be careful not to be sucked in by this kind of activism, which is a bit more than what you're saying. You were just talking about participating, but it is similar. And so you do find the balance. It does not mean you become apathetic and static. You still want to express yourself about certain things, yet not let them take you under. And that's what it means to keep your head above the water, like they say in the Hopi prophecy, is to engage with life, but always be asking who is engaging? Who is the I? And for what am I doing this? And what is the propulsion? What is propelling me to be activist? And you don't really need to be an activist. There again, it is the balance, and that is where it comes from. It is, okay, this is sort of getting my attention, and I may act on it, but who is acting? Who is doing the acting? And that's where you come to right conduct and right mindfulness. And you also consult your inner counsel. Now, that inner counsel is, in fact, whatever comes to you. An example is in this case with this person, I counseled them in a certain way. And the first part of the counseling was do not give your attention to these things. Do not give your attention to what the media feeds you. Even if it is a tribe in Ecuador that is being wiped out, or something that seems more dear, more the indigenous causes, definitely there are things to give compassion to. But mostly, if you will come to a place that when you understand that sometimes doing nothing is the greatest thing you can do. Sometimes simply being the witness. We've talked a lot about the witness, yes? And how when you witness an injustice, it is you become a channel to Akasha, and Akasha registers that injustice into the higher order. So we are like these, I call it ground crew. So think of yourself now, okay, as this sort of satellite on the earth that has eyes and ears and the ability to read and such, and you're taking these things in, and you are a conduit to all that is, what is, you called it exactly, and you are recording it and noticing it and witnessing it, and then it is being siphoned through you to, I call it Akasha or the universe, and they will take care of it. So you are being active. You are actively involved.
Is that how karma gets in place by that?
No,
Like
karma,
other people's
I think
karma or no?
karma is when you try and do something on your own.
Okay.
So this is how you get out of samsara, yes? And karma. And karma is okay. There's
Right,
nothing wrong
yeah.
with karma, but it will just sort of dissolve in a way, because you will learn that by allowing the higher order to do what it is doing already, and it's not even allowing, because it makes no difference whether you allow it or not. It's just how graceful your life is. And then it might be deemed that you must go and do something about it actively. You see, it could come right back to that. But you always have to be asking, who is the doing? Who is acting? And in that, it can sound sometimes like, there's been that era of, oh, it's not me, it's this voice in my head or something. And that's a bit of a danger in psychosis, but we're coming into higher intelligence with this. That is a lower common denominator intelligence that would say that. And your intelligence is increasing so that you can be a useful conduit to all that is, to what is in the universe. And act in accordance with your council and your ancestors, all those people who have your back. So you are not acting on your own, basically. See, when we act on our own and become heroines and heroes, we do much damage. That's where the harm is. And we have the credo to say, do no harm. And when we act in accordance with our counsel, our inner counsel, and consciousness, and our ancestors, the ancestors, our animal spirits, I mean, there's just so much going on. And that's where cooperation is so important. Bertrand Russell said, the only thing that will save humanity is cooperation. And that is not just human to human, it is including the spirit world. It is including all that is, it is including Akasha. There are so many forces working together in this thing called life that includes destruction. That includes the diaspora. So the diaspora we tap on a couple of times, and it's Martine Prechtel speaks of it as the he's not a big fan of the diaspora, but he acknowledges it. So it's the power to displace. And one of the reasons Martine Prechtel is not such a fan is because his own community in Guatemala was pretty much eradicated by the diaspora. And it was very harsh. But it is what it is, and it will do what it does. And it is by no fault of the people that these things come to be. Just as in the story of First Mother and First Father, when the drought came and the people began to perish, it was by no fault of the people that this drought came. It just came. It is by no fault of yours that a relationship ends or someone dies. There is a bigger picture going on. So again, we're in balance here, though, and we'll come back full circle to the inquiry of, I feel very calm, and quiet, and that is how you're feeling right now. And enjoy that and have that experience. Yes, that is the experience you're having right now. And it may change again in First Mother and First Father. Just as fast as good things come to you, so will they leave you. And so you're in a calm period right now, quiet, and you're having that experience that you haven't really had before. That's huge. It's so beautiful. And just revel in that not so much revel in the calm and quiet, because then you become attached to it, just in the fact that you're having a new experience. And that also will go, but you will always have it with you. That's the thing is, we talk about getting it. You're getting it. You get what quiet means, what calm is. You're having those experiences, and that will stay with you, not exclusively, but it's in your cells, and it will come through again, continuously. So that is again increasing intelligence. The cells have a broader bandwidth. Funny that last week we couldn't actually meet because the bandwidth was too narrow. So that's a good example of the limitations in life that come of having a narrow bandwidth. And so your bandwidth is expanding. You're adding calm and quiet to your repertoire. And that is a beautiful thing. I see the rainbow growing. That's what the rainbow bridge is. It's like this endless, endless rows of colors you never even heard of. And it's all the colors of you and the diversity that you are. Again, we've talked about you are diversity. Diversity is not just how many bugs and mushrooms and plants Creator put here. It is all the ways you are. And so you are building the rainbow bridge of yourself. And that's a very, very beautiful thing. And a rainbow can never be destroyed. You just have to stand at the right angle. Never goes away. It's only in the eye of the beholder. So, is there any other little bits? We're going to wrap up soon. And you remember that everything, all the readings that you've done, and these recorded satsangs are available to you in the material sense all the time, it's a good idea to go back to them and just scan and see what your eyes pick up. So not necessarily intensive reading, but just scanning once in a while. And if you're in a place where you need a little assistance, and listening to the satsangs, and of course, I'm here as well if you want to contact me at any time. And just keep on keeping on. I love that one line of the Michael Franti song. It says, "Yeah, we've been doing it all the time. Believe in the coexistence." So you have been doing this all the time. You're just
Yeah.
becoming more conscious of it. You're becoming more conscious of who you are and what you are and what is. And that is the coexistence, being who you are, being what you are, and participating in what is. And everything else is the fluff, the egg white. The posts of petitions and stuff you see out there, and your contrasts with other people. Those are the shadows that give life depth. And then to be able to, again, take responsibility. I'm in a situation right now with a bunch of strangers. I'm working with 12 other people. We've all come together in a very intense situation, and we have to learn to work together and how to speak kindly to each other, how to respond. So I've been kind of coaching people here, and it makes a really big difference how you carry yourself. And the amount of respect you have for yourself. My intention right now in this project is to work with diligence and dignity. And that intention that I made before starting this project has been like an inner tube. It has really helped me to do this work and do my own work as well, of course. So we're always doing our own work, always, always. And becoming more and more fine-tuned so that we can be that conduit and that connectedness. People are always looking to be connected, connectivity. That's what it means. It's being connected with everything, all my relations, and Akasha and what is, and letting everything flow through you. And that's what it means to be a shaman, is just to let things flow through you, let nothing stick to you. That's all it means to be a shaman. And so in this course too, I've been I don't want to say teaching, but sharing with you some of the shamanic practices. Because everybody is a shaman. Everybody has the potential to be a shaman. It doesn't mean you have to work with plant medicines or drums or feathers. It just means being in life in a certain way that allows life to pass through you. And in fact, the other day I said to somebody, shamanism isn't going to last forever. And it really struck me that oddly that I said that. But it's because shamanism, as soon as you put the ism on it, it becomes a religion. And in fact, it has been said shamanism is the new religion. But Christ was not a Christian, and Buddha was not a Buddhist. Shaman is like a verb, it's not a noun. Christ is a verb. Buddha, excuse me, is a verb. Qigong is a verb, not a noun. So it's all about that action. It's about acting as a Buddha, acting as a Christ, as a Christ consciousness, not being Christ. So there again is your activism. And to be active as a shaman is to let things pass through you. And that is a destruction right there. Destruction is letting things pass through you without the self-importance of anything. And yet, the feeling that comes of being so connected makes self-importance seem like pea soup. There's such a fulfillment in being connected, and it's not even about being connected to source. Some people say they meditate and such. It's like this, the broadness of it, as I said, the bandwidth of it is eternal, has no limits, has no boundaries. It's vast. And yet it's all inside of you, as we started speaking about earlier, all that connectivity that you feel it going out, and then because of the toroid sphere, that is the planner, I suppose, of the universe, it all comes back in. So if you just recall right now, the toroid sphere, the donut hat, and it's moving, yeah? So everything is coming up out of the center and going out over the top and around the outsides and then back into the insides through you. So you are the donut, which means that what you consider to be solid, which is your linear body, I mean, you are like a stick, right? You are like the Timbit. The Timbits are the round part that they take out of the donut. And you're that part, but you're actually the invisible part. You're the whole. And everything else
The
is the
circle
toroid
inside the
sphere.
circle.
Yeah, the circle inside the circle. Yeah, but you're the invisible part, even though by all standards of reality, you are the physical, right? You are the part that is visible. But that's kind of a lie. Things are reversed, Everything is backwards. And that's that paradox as well. So just feel that. Just feel that you are the invisible part. Everything moving through you is the visible or real reality. And you are the unreal. And just breathe that in and experience that as well. You may have seen that Alex Gray image. It's like the last page in Sacred Mirrors. And it is a line drawing, lights of a humanoid figure. And then there are beams of light doing the toroid sphere coming in and out of it. If you haven't seen it, I recommend you take a look at that book, Sacred Mirrors. And that is very much who we are.
Yeah, I have this calendar on my wall.
Yeah. I don't remember the title of this piece, but it's like the last stage of the kind of evolution. And there we are. Evolution means egg. So Evo is egg. And it's just all that energy, despite there being a shell. The shell, again, is illusion. And the shell has fallen away. You've come out of your shell. And your egg, your yolk is separated from the whites, and they are doing their thing. The yolk is being mixed with the sugar, and the whites are being whipped up into fluff. And then they all come back together to make waffles. So have no
Yum.
fear. Go ahead.
Yummy, yummy.
Yummy, exactly. As you feel yourself being separated, and this idea of separation is akin to a destruction, and it's very healthy. If you get stuck in separateness, which is a very weird word, or the sense that you are separate, well, you're stuck in it. That's not going to feel very good. But if you acknowledge separation as part of the alchemical process as it is, and you just let it do what it does, you will then move on to the next step in the alchemical process. And again, the alchemical process, the seven steps, they are in a continuum. There's not just one round. They come up whenever necessary to keep you moving, because the nature of energy
Okay.
is movement, and we are energy.